To Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 3. I want to preach to you just a little bit tonight, if I could, and hope be a blessing to you. Challenge. You know, come to church, or not just come to church for a pat on the back. It's okay to be patted on the back, but it's good sometimes just get a challenge from the Bible, you know. I think God's people, I think we always want to be. Paul said, you know, I consider not myself to have apprehended. But he said, I'm pressing forward to the mark, all right, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we'll always want to be challenged to move our Christianity up a notch and just live a little bit better Christian life. And we'll not to be content to be where we are and like we are and just keep on as we are, but just do a better job for the Lord. So hopefully challenge you a little bit tonight. Joshua chapter 3, if you would, begin reading in verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help me as I preach, that I'd give the message you've given to me, and Lord, that it'd be what you want said. And Lord, help us as we hear, that we'd understand, we'd receive your word, and Lord, it'd make a difference in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Joshua, I believe, was given one of the most difficult jobs in the world. You say, what do you mean? Well, he had to follow a great leader. I mean, a leader that was respected, a leader that was admired, and in the case of Moses, a leader that was anointed by God to do what he did. He was chosen by God. And so Joshua has the unenviable position of following him. And to be honest, few people are able to follow a great leader, keep things going the same way successfully. And for whatever reason, oftentimes people get in and they think, well, I need to change it. Have you ever been at a restaurant? You went to a restaurant for years that you loved, and man, the food was good. And then somebody else bought it, and they thought they had a better idea. And it wasn't long till the place closed down. You know, because they thought, well, we'll change the menu, we'll change the recipes. My soul, I remember years ago, my mom, she was known, at least in the family, for making pecan pies. And as far as I'm concerned, I've never tasted one any better. And I've tasted good ones, but none any better than she could make. I loved the pecan pies. And one time we sat down, she'd cut it up, we cut a piece off, and we started eating it. And it was like all three of us, me, my brother, my dad, we sort of looked at one another and said, Mom, what'd you do to this pie? And she said, well, I thought I'd add an ingredient. And we said, don't. Don't, okay? Now, hey, it was okay. But man, when you know how to do it, don't mess it up, you know. What the old saying, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, all right? And so many people think we got a new idea. Well, don't do that, all right? And that's what happens a lot of times with a leader that follows another great leader. And by the way, the problem, though, when things don't go well is not always with the leader. The problem's not always with the leader. Oftentimes the problem lies with the follower. So oftentimes, some people, they'll follow one person, but when the next one comes along, they're not willing to follow him and mess his things up. So I want to use that thought just for a bit here tonight and preach to you on the subject of if you're going to follow Joshua. If you're going to follow Joshua. Now, the nation of Israel had been following Moses. God had told them, all right, Joshua's now the leader. So if you're going to follow Joshua, what are you going to do? Verse 1. Now, I'm going to lose some of you right here. You have to get up early. That's what it says right there in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning. All right, preacher, I'm done. I'm out already. You done lost me, okay? I don't like to get up early. The old bed sure feels good in the morning. I understand that. And man, have you ever noticed when it's cold, it feels even better? And I've noticed that, hey, man, we thank God we got central heat, central air in our house, and the temperature really is not that much different, but I know, just knowing it's cold outside, it feels better in the bed, you know? And that bed just holds on to you a little bit tighter. But I'll be honest with you, folks, if you're going to follow Joshua, you got to get up early. Hey, by the way, let me just point out to you. You check it out in your Bible. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, Job, and Jesus Christ. You check it out. They got up early. They got up early. Now, man, I've heard everything in the world. I've heard people say, I'm not a morning person. Join the crowd. I'm just a person. To be honest with you, I enjoy staying up late at night. I got in a bad habit when I was in college, staying up late at night, studying. And it's a bad habit to get into. I would stay up late at night and think, well, boy, this is the way to live. You know, I was talking to a young person today, and I won't call her name, but she's bragging, boy, this next week, I don't have to go to school. I'm going to stay up to 2 in the morning. I said, why? Because I can do this, this, and this. I said, why can't you do them in the day? And there was no reason. There was no reason. We just get this crazy idea. I say in college, I got in a bad habit of staying up late at night and studying and trying to, and I'd eat Doritos so I wouldn't go to sleep while I was studying. And that's not good for your figure. I'll just point that out to you, all right? But, man, I did those things. You staying up late, not a good thing. But, hey, you can get up early in the morning. You can get up early in the morning. You say, I can't do it. Yeah, you can. Say, well, I can't. No, you don't. All right? You don't do it. Hey, it's a good time to meet the Lord. Good time to meet the Lord. Yeah, hey, it's a good time early in the morning to get right with God. Man, how good to start your day right with God. Hey, by the way, it's good to get an early start for the day. I found out a long time ago you can get a lot more done if you get an early start. Sometimes around our house, I confess to you, we don't necessarily sleep so late on Saturday, but we just mess around, and we won't eat breakfast till later. And, boy, all of a sudden you realize, wait a minute, whoa, it's 12 o'clock. What happened? What happened to those hours in the morning? It's already gone, all right? Hey, get up early. Get up early. It gives you more time to get the job done. The Bible said Joshua rose up early in the morning. Can't do it. Listen, you do. You do what you train yourself to do. Hey, I do what I train myself to do. I do it. All right? If I'm going out here blaming somebody, it's not somebody else. It's me. It's me. And, boy, I tell you what, it's a good thing. If you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to get up early in the morning. Because he rose up early in the morning, the Bible says. You know, I'm convinced there's a generation of teenagers today that don't know what sunrise looks like. They've never seen it. Just never seen it take place. And that's a mistake. That's a mistake, all right? What a mistake to do that. And just wrong. Well, I don't know, preacher. Well, once again, if you're going to follow Joshua, you need to get up early. You need to get up early. By the way, I named those other great men in the Bible. They got up early. They got up early. And you have to do it, all right? You have to do it. Second thing, if you're going to follow Joshua, look at verse 3. The Bible said, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Hey, if you're going to follow Joshua, then you have to follow the ark. Amen. Have to follow the ark. Joshua is very careful to point out, hey, what we're going to do, we're going to cross the Jordan, but when we do, we're going to be behind the ark. Amen. We're going to follow the ark. You say, what's the importance there? Hey, the ark was the visible sign of God's presence in his people. It was that visible sign. It contained the law of God. It contained the law of God, the tables of stone that Moses brought down from the mount the second time after he broke the first one, all right? And God had written there with his finger the law on those tables of stone. They were in the ark. It contained manna God had sent, all right? manna was there. It contained the rod, Moses' rod that budded, okay? It was there. On top of that ark was the mercy seat. That mercy seat is the token of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkle the blood of that lamb on that mercy seat to make atonement for the sins of the people, all right? That ark was an important thing. Now, let me just put it to you. I believe in typology, it means this. We're to follow the Word of God. We're to follow the Word of God. It contained the law of God. That's what we're to do, all right? If we're going to follow Joshua, we're going to have to follow the Word of God. We're going to have to live scripturally. We're just going to have to live scripturally. God didn't put us in this world and say, do your own thing. He didn't put us in this world and say, live however you want to. No, He gave us some rules. He gave us some rules. Now I realize we live in a rebellious generation. Rebellious generation. We talk about teenagers rebelling. Boy, it's not just teenagers. There's no upper limit on that age limit of people rebel. We rebel, man. People rebel against God, rebel against the law of God. We don't want to do what God says. We want to ignore the Word of God. Now, I know that's true in the world, but the sad thing is true in people named the name of Christ. We don't want to be governed by the Scriptures. But boy, that's where the truth is. That's where the help is. And if we're going to follow Joshua, then we're going to be guided. We're going to follow the Word of God. We're going to follow the Word of God. Not only that, I believe we'll consciously follow the leading of God for our lives. They followed the ark because to them, God was leading them across the Jordan. That was the picture. This wasn't a ritual. It wasn't just some ritual. It wasn't some mystical thing that those priests bearing that ark, you know, was some mystical thing and everybody's humming, you know, in the background. No, wasn't like that. That was God and God's presence. He was leading His people. You get on further and they'd go into combat and they'd carry the ark into combat. Man, it didn't have a machine gun sitting on top of it, okay? None of that. They said, why'd they carry it? Because they realized that was the presence of God with them. They were there. They followed that ark. Why? That says we're following the leading of God. Folks, if you're going to follow Joshua, that's what you're going to do. You're going to follow God's leading in your life. You check it out, man, all through the book of Joshua, even before the book of Joshua, when we met Joshua back there in Exodus with Moses, Joshua was concerned about following the will of God. That's why he was with Caleb and stood and gave the minority report when they had went in to spy out the land. He came back and said, hey, that's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go after it. And he had heard the other guys stand up and say, no, there's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers. We don't have a chance. Joshua said, let's get them. Let's go. Why? Because he knew God was leading. Hey, that's us. If we're going to follow Joshua, it means we're going to follow the leading of God. I'm not going my own way. I'm not doing my own thing. Well, I just like to express my independence. Well, I would like to express my dependence. I'm depending on God. I'm trying to follow Him. Basically, it boils down to you doing the will of God for your life. You doing the will of God. That's what Joshua was doing. Joshua wasn't seeking fame. Joshua wasn't there going, all right, this is my chance to shine. Here's Joshua following the leading of God and saying, Lord, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I'll do it. You check it out. We've talked about him being a servant. Servant. He was more concerned about being a servant than he was about being the leader. He was a good leader because he's a good servant. And he was a good leader because he is a servant of the living God. He said, if you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to rise up early and you're going to follow the will of God in your life. You're going to follow the will of God in your life. Hey, it gets better. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. If you're going to follow him, he said, yet there should be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Now here it is, for you have not passed this way heretofore. You know what? If you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to go someplace you hadn't been before. You're going to go some places you haven't been before. Man, people say, I'm tired, my life's boring, I'm bored, you know, nothing ever happens. Well, you're in the wrong place. You're not following Joshua, okay? Because he said, hey, we're fixing to go. You've not passed this way here before. And for some people, that's the way of faith. It's the way of faith. Now, the New Testament says we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And over again, the Lord has told us the just shall live by faith. We're to live by faith. But how many of us do? How many of us really do by faith, all right? And I tell you what, you follow Joshua, you're going to take a path you haven't trod, and it could be just that path of faith. I'm going to trust God. I don't know how he's going to lead. I'm not sure ever where he's going to lead, but I'm following him by faith. Joshua was a man of faith, and he followed God by faith. He didn't know. Hey, listen. We've read the story. We know how it ends. We've read it. We know how it ends. But I want you to know, Joshua's leading a bunch of people into a land that has outnumbered them, had bigger armies, more training, more experience. You say, why'd Joshua do it? He's a man of faith. Boy, you want to be challenged in following Joshua, then challenged to live by faith. Live by faith. My dad liked that song, Living by Faith, and I like that song, Living by Faith. I've heard the choir down at the Roloff Homes back when Brother Roloff was alive singing that song. Man, it'd move you. It'd stir your soul. But wait a minute, it ought to stir our soul to live by faith. Trust in God. Trust in God. Well, preacher, I can't do it. I know you can't by sight. But by faith. By faith. By faith. We walk by faith. We give by faith. We're to live by faith. Hey, that's a way we haven't been before. Been down that trail. Haven't been down that trail before. A lot of Christians never been down the trail of faith. Sometimes it's going to mean getting out of your comfort zone. Getting out of your comfort zone. Serving God regardless of what you've done before. Out of your comfort zone. You know, a comfortable place in the pew. I went to a funeral yesterday for Brother Jernigan. I told you this morning, pastored Lakeland Street Baptist Church for 35 years. I was sitting next to a preacher friend, and I said, you know what? One thing about these pews at Lakeland, they've always been uncomfortable. Every time, I mean, to me, they had the most uncomfortable pews around, and I believed it for a long time. But, you know, sometimes it's easy to get into church and get comfortable. I mean, we got padded pews now. Good heavens, you can get comfortable there. We got central heat and air. You can be comfortable no matter what temperature is outside. You can be comfortable in here. Man, you can nod off. All right? Somebody may have to wake you up. All right, hey, why? Well, we get comfortable. Wait a minute. If you're going to follow Joshua, it may mean getting out of that comfort zone. Getting out of that comfort zone. Doing things you've never done before. Well, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Well, have you tried? I'm not sure I can do that. I'm not comfortable talking to people. Well, uncomfortably talk to them. Well, I get nervous talking to people. Well, speak nervously to them. When I think of a nervous person, I think of Don Knotts. Barney Fife, if you will, okay? Man, he could be there and be so nervous and he'd be talking, you know? And if that's the way you got to talk to people, talk to people. Hey, but just get out of that comfort zone. Witness somebody. Stick a handful of tracks in your pocket. Go around with them. Just hand them out. Hand them out. Well, I've never done that before. I'm a little bit nervous. Okay, get out of your comfort zone. You just go to it, all right? To step out. Here we go. Man, I guarantee you there were some people with Joshua that said, I wonder how this is going to work. Like I said, we've read the story. We know how it comes out. We know what happened. Hey, we've already read about what happened at Jericho. We're familiar with the story. We know the walls fell down flat. And they moved in, didn't lose a man, taking the city. But those people that were following Joshua across the Jordan weren't so sure of that, how it was going to work. They had never been there before, all right? It's a new way. God may want you to do something you've never done before. Well, just go ahead and do it. Just go and do it. Step out by faith. Get out of that comfort zone. Sometimes it might mean getting your feet wet. You say, what do you mean? Well, look at verse 13. It shall come to pass as soon as soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan. They had to get the feet wet first. Until their feet rested in the water stayed there. The water was there. Hey, by the way, it wasn't a smooth, gentle stream. It was a Jordan River in flood stage. Flood stage. Now, there's a big difference in crossing a gentle stream and crossing a stream that's swollen by floodwaters. Big difference. You talk about out of your comfort zone. Hey, Joshua, I don't know if you've looked lately, but you see that river? You do realize, Joshua, there is no bridge. And I don't see the pontoons. I don't see the bridge building crew. So just exactly what's going to happen here. Joshua said, here it is, by faith, we're going to follow the ark of God. And those priests, when their feet touch that water, God's going to open the way. But you got to get your feet wet, all right? And you may have to wade out a little deeper than you've been before. Just wade out a little deeper. Get out there a little bit. Why? If you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to be some places and go some places you've never been before. God will make the way, but you got to go, all right? Hey, just go ahead while we're here. It may mean the way of sacrifice. Okay, preacher, I'm out again. You always want me to get out of the bed early. Now you want me to sacrifice? Yeah, it's the way of sacrifice. It could mean giving up what you want. Our Lord said, let a man deny himself. Oh, mercy, we don't like to hear that today. We're blessed beyond measure today. Blessed beyond measure today. And we've taken those blessings, and for the most part, we've used them on ourselves. That's the truth. You check out those seven churches in the book of Revelation. When you get to the Laodicean church, he said, man, you're rich and increased with goods, and you think you have need of nothing. But you're really poor, miserable, naked, and blind. Hey, that's our problem. We've been abundantly blessed. And for the most part, we've used it on ourselves. We've used it on ourselves. Now, wait a minute. Hey, I just want you to know I'm not just pointing at you. I'm guilty. I'm guilty too. We've thought I got to have this and I got to have that and I got to have the newest and the greatest and the best and I've got to do that. Well, we don't have to do that, all right? It might mean if we're going to go away we've never been before, it may mean we've got to sacrifice. It may mean we have to sacrifice. But if you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to go some places you've never been before. It might be the way of sacrifice. Hey, if you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to rise up early. You're going to follow the ark. You're going to go places you've never been before. Look at verse 5. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now Joshua said, if you go on me, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Sanctification basically simply means to come out and be separate from the heathen and the heathen's way. You know, to clean yourself up, straighten yourself up, separate yourself. Look, there's verse after verse after verse in the Bible that talks about separation, all right? Now you say, well, who's the heathen? Anybody who's lost and apart from God, that's the heathen. That's the heathen. And the heathen live right here. They live right here. In our day, it is difficult to tell the Christian from the heathen. Difficult to tell the Christian from the heathen. So much of Christianity has adopted the ways of the heathen. Man, and it's sad, sad, sad truth that the heathen sets the style of dress. The heathen sets the sound of music. The heathen sets the manner of living for the majority of professing Christians. That's why tonight you go to churches and so many of them are empty because they don't have service on Sunday night. Don't have service on Sunday night. Where'd the idea come from? Hey, one service on Sunday, psst, that's it. Go to church one time a week. Where'd that idea come from, all right? I want to tell you, it didn't come from Bible-believing people. It came from people get influenced by the world. You're going to churches now and things that are named that way, and oftentimes they're not called churches anymore. They're called worship centers or something else, or all kinds of different names. You go into them, they don't look like a church. Because why? Well, we want to appeal to the heathen, not to change them, but they can feel comfortable coming in just like they are. Just like they are. Hey, it's a sad day. This preacher is not glad that that's happened. This preacher is sad about what goes on. God's people, man. Then the preacher dares to stand up against that tide and that trend, and almost immediately he's labeled a legalist. Oh, you're a legalist. You're a legalist. Good lands of mercy. I'm not going to go there, but a legalist is entirely different, all right? Legalism, the folks that label you that way don't even know what legalism is. They don't know their Bible. Hey, by the way, that's the reason they want to label you a legalist. They don't know their Bible, so they don't want to follow the Lord. They don't want to sanctify themselves. Look, God wants His people to be clean. God wants His people to be clean. He wants us to be holy. He says to us, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He wants us to stand out as different. He wants us to be identified with God instead of with the world. Now, can I ask you, what's wrong with that? What in the world's wrong with it? Why don't we want to be identified with God? Identified with God. I know almost nothing about the Kardashians, okay? I know almost nothing about the Kardashians. I know there's a bunch of them, and I know they're filthy wealthy in many cases, all right? And I know in many cases they live a filthy life, all right? Now, I just want to say this to you. As a child of God, why would I want to be identified with them? Why would I want to be identified with them? I don't understand that. I do not understand that. I don't know why. Why would we want to be identified with that? Why wouldn't we want to be identified with our God? Joshua demanded that those following him sanctify themselves. He demanded, "You sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Maybe that's why God doesn't do much for us. Maybe there's no wonders because we won't sanctify ourselves. Hey, the truth of the matter is we want to blend in. We don't want to stand out. We want to be just like them. We want to be just like the heathen. We want to look like them, talk like them, smell like them, sound like them, and everything. Man, I don't. I don't. I was preaching in chapel at Trinity this last week, and I don't remember what the point was or why, but I was trying to come up with a well-known singer, and the one I called their name, I pronounced her name wrong. They laughed at me. Now, they didn't laugh at me unkindly. But, hey, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what the heathen are doing. Well, did you watch the Oscars? Why? Why would I do that? Why do I care what the world is rewarding among the heathen? And what do they think is outstanding? And the CMA Awards, who cares? Why would I, a child of God, care about that? I don't want to be identified with them. Hey, I'll tell you the truth. I don't want you to be identified with them. I want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be identified with Bible-believing people, people that love the Lord, know the Lord, live for the Lord. That's the crowd I want to fit in. That's where I want to be. Hey, listen, you're going to follow Joshua, you're going to get up early. You're going to follow the ark. You're going to follow the ark. Hey, you're going to go someplace you hadn't been before. You're going to have to sanctify yourself, all right? Look at verse 10, Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you." You think about that statement, would you, just for a minute? "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites." He said, you're going to know it. You know why? He said, you're going to see, if you're going to follow Joshua, you'll know the living God is among us. Because he's going to do something. You're going to be able to see his work on your behalf. You're going to be able to see that. He said, we're going to drive out enemies in the land. He said, I'm going to make a supernatural way across the Jordan in flood stage. He said, you're going to see it. You're going to see the living God is among us. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's the God I serve. That's the God we serve. We serve that living God. You say, "Well, preacher, when's the last time he parted the waters for you?" I hadn't needed to cross the Jordan in flood stage. I've never needed that. But boy, there's been times I've needed him, and he sure showed up. He sure showed up. I don't tell you what, I mean, we're to see him. I believe God still works on behalf of his people. I just believe that. I believe he still does it. I believe sometimes we see it and realize, sometimes we don't. But it doesn't mean he isn't working. I Brother Smart, when he prays, I know he did this morning, he's done it other times, he'll often say, I believe this is the way you say it, is thank you for the blessings and he said, the ones we see and the ones we don't see. Hey, I'll tell you what, I believe God's working among us. I believe he still does that. I believe he still works on behalf of his people. And I believe oftentimes we do see it. Sometimes we pray and God does amazing things. I thank God for what he's doing for that little baby, that little Smith baby. They were told at the very beginning he'll be born and the next day he'll have to have heart surgery. And he won't get out of the hospital for months and months, and he'll have to have several surgeries. He hadn't yet. Why? Well, there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. I think God works on behalf of his people. I told you this morning, I mentioned my daughter called me last night. I could tell she's worried. She told me her daughter, her littlest, youngest one, had rolled all the way down the stairs at their house. And I asked, I said, "All the way?" She said, "All the way, Dad." But I thank God that God's protecting hand was there. God's protecting hand was there. She may have got bounced up and shook up. Took her to the hospital and checked her out and all the scans and this, that. Everything seemed to be okay. Why? Hey, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven. Why didn't he keep her from falling? Well, he wanted to show her he could keep her while she fell, all right? Keep it. Look, I'll tell you, I believe God still works on behalf of his people. Can I just get through tonight? If God's not doing anything for you, then maybe you're not following the one you ought to be following. Maybe you need to get up early to meet the Lord or begin to consciously follow his revealed will and his will that's revealed in his word to do what he says. Maybe you need to step out in the water a little bit deeper. Maybe you need to sanctify yourself. Because I don't believe God's changed. I don't believe God's changed. The problem is not with him. The problem lies with me and you. We want God to do something, but we don't want to meet the condition. There's a lot of people that say, "Boy, it'd have been fun to have been there with Joshua." Wait a minute, though. You got to meet the conditions. You got to meet the conditions. We always want to look at it as, well, if I'm an observer, I'm back here looking down. No. They were following Joshua. They were with him. Every one of those Israelites crossed that Jordan River. Every one of them went through, and the water mounted on either side. They went across. They went across, every one of them. Hey, they were all there. They were all involved, and they marched around Jericho. They were following Joshua. God took them places they'd never been. God showed them, hey, the living God's among you. I don't know about you, but I like it when he shows up. I like it when he reveals himself. I like to see that. Not happening, maybe the problem's with you. Maybe there's some things you need to do. Would you do it tonight? Our Heavenly Father, would you just help us now? We look at the Word of God. We see what the Bible says. We see the example of Joshua. And Lord, humanly speaking, sometimes we look at that and we think, oh, it's exciting.